Welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through gaming. This week we have a few things. We've got Risk of Rain, Doom Eternal from good old QuakeCon, Path of Exile, many more updates there, and a few industry things such as Discord and Bethesda. This week we've got Inferno, no, not Inferno anymore. You are Panda KB now. Good times.
Panda KB.
Panda KB, yep. And that's how we pronounce that. So,
absolutely.
Let's get started. Monster Hunter World for PC. You've played it on console. I played the recent one on PC. What were your thoughts on console?
I thought it was quite good. I mean, I guess it would always... It still looked really good on the Xbox One, which is what I played it on. But I guess I always figured it would look pretty awesome with a 1080 on a PC, I would imagine.
It looks really good on the PC. The gameplay was pretty good.
Gameplay was good. I mean, if I was going to play it, I'd be using my Xbox controller anyway on the PC.
So, yes, that's what I
imagine gameplay won't be much different. But I thought it was very good. I didn't get to play a lot of it. But I'm very tempted to get it on the PC and join you, I guess.
Yes, I would definitely like that. My other opinions of it, so it's mixed on Steam at the moment, and I think kind of rightfully so. On the first day, the multiplayer continuously disconnected, so that would have really pissed people off. Also, with the multiplayer,
they had similar problems on console, I reckon, which you would have expected that they would have learned from. I would have hoped.
Yeah, I'm genuinely surprised. Like from a game, like from the developer perspective, they've done a really good game. From a company managing their product release perspective, it is horrible. I cannot believe just the way that everything connects up as well. Like I feel like their multiplayer developers were a bit different from their like gameplay and stuff developers, because the multiplayer
You're talking about how it's like you just go about your world and then there's sort of those instances where you can connect up with other players. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, sort of like that. Like the main quest, you can't quest with other people until you've done like the main cutscene for a assignment or wherever they're called.
Yeah, so you can't like cop straight from the start.
It just makes no sense. It's like either make the full single player story single player with like multiplayer, or like, because they've tried to mix it and then they make all this really big deal on how you need other hunters to help you do this stuff, but they don't supply a good multiplayer experience.
Yeah, I must admit, I think, to be honest, when I played it on console, I don't actually think I ever really got it, because I got it right on launch. And I don't think I really got the multiplayer to work. I certainly never played with anybody in instances. I know I got a lot of pop-ups about it, because obviously it was quite in your face about wanting you to team up with other people, but I don't think it actually worked for me, to be perfectly honest. Again, this is going back a good few months now, but I don't think it worked.
Yeah, it's been really shoddy, I would say.
It's just not a good experience, right?
No, it's not. Like, even Caitlin was saying, if she bought this as a single player game, she would have enjoyed it a lot more. Like we enjoyed it. Like the way that you craft,
I mean, you played a lot of it.
the way you craft armor and from the monsters and how it looks very much like those monsters and stuff is like really fun experience. Trying to do that with friends is not, and that's the bad part of it.
I guess you want to be able, if you're going to play co-op, I guess you just want to be able to, I guess, lobby up at the start and playing a group, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of like going out on those missions is like instance based, so it's like it's almost like you're loading into an instance as opposed to just loading into the game world.
Yeah, it does feel a bit that way. And the fact that you have to go to a certain part of the town, like the gathering hub, to see other players in the city. Like the city could have been everyone from your session. Easily. I don't know why it's not. It just feels like everything in the game was very well polished, and then they decided, we'll add multiplayer.
It certainly is a very, from what I remember, it was a very polished game. Like the gameplay was good, albeit obviously a bit of a learning curve. I think it's quite difficult to you know, if you just jump in cold turkey.
It's very it's very Korean MMO like in its text tutorials.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But I guess if you try and gloss over those, like yours truly, then you find yourself getting lost and definitely needing to find your way back to where you can train. But
yeah,
I guess it. Yeah, you're right. It's a well polished game. I mean, I don't recall many bugs during actual gameplay, but certainly given that they've pushed multiplayer as such a massive feature. I guess it's not necessarily a requirement, but it's definitely well insisted that you cooperate with other players. The experience just isn't good. And like I said, I don't think it was very good back at console launch. And I guess if they haven't fixed these sort of problems for the PC release many, many months later, then I guess that is really disappointing. I'd be really interested to, I guess we don't have the Steam store for consoles, but I guess I wonder what the, I guess, public consensus was on what people were thinking.
Well, it's mixed on Steam. The reviews are very harsh, but right, like I felt like it was deserving.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I feel like anyone who bought it for a single play and they just wanted to play a single player probably had like really good things to say about it. But a lot of the people who bought it to play with their friends probably like, this is horrible.
Yeah, no, look, that's fair.
Which,
I guess. So how have you and Caitlin found it trying to play with each other?
The first day was really hard. So we played Saturday and Sunday on the weekend, most of both days. Mm-hmm. By the end of Saturday, we're like, you know what? This is not even fun anymore. We'll try again tomorrow. Yeah, the next day, I think a lot of people gave up, though, on that first day, because the second day we had like almost no network issues, but it still sucked about the story requirements. So we couldn't go through.
Yeah.
We had to keep stop playing together. Because we both needed to go do that story part and then come back. And yeah. it was just really silly. It just breaks the game apart way too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is unfortunate.
That is very disappointing. Very unfortunate, but definitely disappointing.
But, you know, Capcom, I think it's made published by Capcom. I don't think they've done great things in the managing of their games has never been their forte.
No, I mean, a lot of the Capcom, like the modern-ish, when I say modern, you know, I'm thinking last...
Recently released.
...odd years, since Xbox 360, basically. I've always had issues with Capcom games. Yes. If you sort of ignore more retro and arcadey games.
That's fair. I guess that's all I have to say about Monster Hunter for now. I hope they do some patches, and I hope they fix.
You've almost talked me out of getting it.
Well,
but again, I guess from a single player perspective, I think it would be a good game.
Once we've done the story part, and then we go back in and do like just a custom, like exploration. Like it's really fun. Like it's really fun going in and doing a hunt together. It's just that it's broken up, and a higher level person can come join you. Because if they've already done the cutscene, they can join your thing. It's just if you're both up to the same thing.
If you're Right. That's a bit stupid, really, isn't it?
It just... Everything about it seems very silly.
The only thing I can think of is if they took... Because, I mean, playing certain games, sometimes MMOs or whatever, in a multiplayer perspective where there's cutscenes, I think even, like, Diablo... Two, I remember being like, this is you get to that sort of point playing with a group of friends, and then you've got to, you know, some people skip the video and then some people don't, and then you've got to wait like potentially up to 5-6 minutes for the progression of some video, whether they or sequence, maybe they took that a bit too seriously and sort of blocked that from being possible.
Yeah,
I don't know,
like, because keep going.
No, sorry, because I can see from if you weren't playing with friends and you were just doing the instance-based, like, you know, finding players, that if you're just waiting for some rando online to watch a cutscene that you're just skipping, you know, I guess, how would they handle that? Whether that is, I guess, the crux of why they did that, I don't know. Maybe. Either way, I think you should at least have the option to be able to play cooperatively. Certainly if you're loading up, you know, as part of a group at the start, that tick on with it, I guess.
Exactly. It was really upsetting. No. But oh well. Moving on. Undertale Collector's Edition announced for the Switch. I think that's pretty good. It's weird that it's getting a Collector's Edition when it's been out on almost every other console.
So what does the Collector's Edition entail versus just Undertale? I mean, is Undertale already on the Switch? Or is this the Undertale release on Switch?
No, it's coming out on the Switch. I think it's also... then it may be getting a Collector's Edition. No, okay, so the Collector's Edition was already released for PS4. And they're doing a Switch port, but also doing the Collector's Edition, which I think it's fine. It includes some cool things like the sheet music for the music in the game.
Okay.
And like a little art booklet. So it's not putting anything in the game that you can't already get by owning like the normal copy, which I approve of. That's what Collector's Editions should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just find it, it's a bit strange because like anyone that probably wanted the Collector's Edition, they're probably only going to get it on the Switch as like, I can play this game on the Switch, but I don't want to rebuy the Collector's Edition. That being said.
That's fair. I guess my question is, do you have the option of just buying Undertale?
Yeah, you'll just be able to buy it on the store.
Yep. Without upgrading to Collector's Edition, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. This is more of a...
It's good to have the option.
Yeah, it is. I think for people that couldn't get it before, they can get it now, I guess. There's always that.
Yeah. I mean, if you think non-physical copy game, are there a lot of games that get released with collector's editions? I mean, obviously, you go to the Steam store and you buy a game and, you know, in their own right way have, like,
17 editions.
Yeah.
All with different things.
Is this a first or at least a rare thing for the Switch?
No, I got the collector's edition of Zelda. I don't think there was anything extra in the game. It was just I got a sword, a shield.
But I guess what I'm thinking more so about, I mean, did you buy the physical copy of that game or did you buy that one?
Physical copy.
So physical copies you buy in like EV and stuff, I get. But I'm thinking more like things like Hollow Knight that have been released digital only. I mean, are there many digital collectors, so to speak?
I don't know on the Switch, actually. I haven't seen any.
I mean, it's a bit of a, you know, unnecessary question, I guess. I find it interesting.
No, it's interesting.
By the way, good thing. I mean, I still haven't bought Undertale myself, but then I guess the more games like Undertale and I guess Hollow Knight, even though I own it and love it on PC, but I guess the more these sort of games coming out on Switch, I think I'm definitely feeling more internal pressure myself to buy a Switch.
Oh, the Switch has done really well. I'm impressed every day.
It has done really well. Like I said, when I had a hold of yours the other week, it's one of those things I guess I just have to get used to it like anything. But I guess I wasn't... I guess I'm just too used to Xbox controller. But, you know, you're not going to get an Xbox controller, you know, in that sort of thing. Otherwise, it'd be...
Well, you can get the Pro controller for it.
You can. I guess.
Caitlin uses.
The handheld...
And it's really good.
Because the handheld experience. Yeah, that's fair.
Because a lot of people don't like the Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons and that silly thing that you slide it into.
Oh, the thing you slide it into, that's horrible. I use the two Joy-Cons separately. Like, that's really comfortable for me. That's one of the things I've really liked about Nintendo, is that you can just sit there with your arms to the side and play a game.
Yeah, and do you have motion sensors, kind of like Wii?
Yeah, it does. I haven't played any game that uses it yet. I don't really buy into those games. Wii Sports was probably the only one.
If they re-released Wii Sports, if they released Wii Sports onto the Switch, I'd totally buy it.
Yeah,
I think really that fun. Might be the time I buy it.
Well, they did have a game. It was called like 1-2 Switch, but it was like an $80 or $70 game.
It was like full price and it was like a couple of shitty mini games, right?
Yeah, it was very much like... It was kind of like Wii Sports. It showcased what the Switch controls could do and stuff, and the motion controls.
Wii Sports was included, wasn't it?
But Wii Sports was included with the Wii, which is what, like, yes, they made no money of it, but like it made the Wii console really good, really sell well.
Well,
like,
it gave you that value, right? I mean, you think of the other consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, that there's no I mean, you can buy your bundle, but if you just buy the base console, you can't do anything game wise until you go and buy something. Whereas, I guess, yeah, with the Wii back then, you know, at least you could, like, you know, if you were even like, think parents gifting it for their kids or whatever, they can buy it on its own. That might be as much as they can afford, and they've at least got something to start them off, I guess.
I agree.
But right, they don't really do that very. And if you think PCs, you don't do that either. So, but
yeah, but that's a bit off tangent there. So Undertale.
It is for Undertale Collector's Edition. Nah, sounds good.
Yeah, it is good. But speaking of Nintendo and the games they sell in collector's editions and stuff, Steam has been allowing that crap on their store for ages. Discord is now going to sell games. Which
I saw something about this. I haven't seen any details now. I see you posted something about the store beta.
Yeah, so the store beta, I think, is in Canada or something. From what I've gathered and read, there's two kind of versions. They're not going to, at least not at the start, target all the games. They're going to work with some indies to sell games. They're going to continue the industry standard 30% cut. And they might do a kind of Netflix thing with Nitro. So people who pay for Nitro may also get some just free games.
To like play while they're a Nitro member?
Yes. Okay. I don't know any of the titles that will be for that, but...
Well, looking on this screenshot, the Hollow Knight, which is pretty cool. But I guess a couple of questions I guess I've got around this is... is it DRM free like GOG, or is it subscription kind of?
I think it'll depend per the game.
Because I guess, I guess, like I said, I'm not going to, like, I've got Hollow Knight on GOG, for instance, but I'm not necessarily going to go and buy it on board as well, which I guess isn't the aim, but.
I agree.
I think interesting. I guess other choices. I would like to see it going kind of. I hope it takes it more a few more lessons from GOG than it does from Steam.
Based on the 30% cut and stuff, I think they want to directly target Steam's market and be a more liked Steam. They definitely said they're going to curate their store, so they're definitely looking at, like, what does everyone hate about Steam? The store curation. So they're definitely taking on that point.
That's fair. Well, I hope it, I guess, I hope they go through that and really do, I guess, make that.
I would wish they didn't do the 30% cut. I reckon 30% of a game's sales is a lot of money. Like, if your game makes 100,000 and you're giving 30,000 of that, like, I don't think these stores are doing 30% worth of the work.
Oh, no, God, no.
They know, like
a good platform.
The amount of money Steam would still have if it did 10% is ridiculous.
But even if you think Steam, I think Steam feels more primarily is, and it always was designed to be a, you know, that kind of platform. It's built, and the only reason it exists was to sell, and initially to host their own games that Valve created. But obviously, since they opened it up and it's evolved over the many years,
now they don't make games.
Purpose. So now they don't make games, but. If you look at that service and think, well, that's your monetization. That's how you've built your business model from the very beginning is this 30% cut. And at the end of the day, people buy into that. Whereas for Discord, it's like it's a voice chat. I see it more as like it's voice chat, what it is now. And then I guess melding into this with the same agent and stuff just feels a bit like, yeah, I don't know. I agree. I don't know. I mean, what would you say would be a better cut? I agree. I think 30% is a bit steep, but I guess...
I would honestly say 10. I think 30% is a greedy approach from...
they would immediately steal business from Steam, you'd imagine.
Now, what Discord is doing is they're putting some stake in some games, though. They're going to help some indies grow up so that they will be exclusive, 90-day exclusives to the Discord store. For those games, you should be able to take 30%. You have funded it. You have helped it. Like that, you have stake in it. That is worth 30%.
But across the board, if you're just another option that people are putting their game up on your store, I think, yeah.
Yeah, if especially from a business perspective, if they went like 15 or 10%, every developer like, oh, we want to release on Steam, we want to release on Discord, like people.
Well, even more, imagine, I would say if they're going to, if they did the exclusive thing, almost I would say, I guess I don't know whether it's something they would consider doing, but I guess if you agreed to exclusively put your game up on the Discord store only, and then you, I guess, have a discounted cut, I guess. I mean, that would be interesting.
That'd be weird. But, then everyone will complain that they can't release their things on other things. Like, they can't release their product on other platforms. Well, yeah, but
I guess that's the agreement you sign up for, right?
Yeah, but I don't like
that.
I guess the
thing that's doing that is, though, I guess this needs, I guess it, to some point, this is going to be somewhat automated. Like, yes, there'll be curation, but ultimately, you know, they're not going to want to build a system that then needs policing to make sure people aren't going putting them up on other sites, whatnot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just think 30% is too much.
So. Interesting, though. I think it's way too early to, I guess, see how this is going to play out, but I guess. Look, at the end of the day, more options isn't necessarily a bad thing. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how it turns out.
I agree. So let's continue on. Did you look at Torchlight Frontiers?
I did look at it. No, I didn't look at it. Sorry.
Torchlight, so have you played the Torchlight games, one or two?
I have two. I must admit, I didn't play as much of it as I thought. I mean, I'm a big fan. I mean, growing up, I played arguably too much Diablo 2. Those sort of games I really, really love. Torchlight, I never had Torchlight, but I did buy Torchlight 2 to play with some friends. But unfortunately, it's another one of these cases where I bought it to play with these friends after they'd been playing it a while. And then when I've bought it, they stopped playing. So, I just wasn't fully invested in it, just played on my own, so I didn't really play very much, but I guess the concept of it, and I thought it was quite good. But tell me more about this new one.
So it's an ARPG, like Torchlight Tube and one before it. It seems to be more MMO driven, but still with like a procedurally generated ARPG world, so I don't know how they're gonna put all that in together, but I would like to see it. I think a MMO that's more driven like that rather than driven by the... I guess I would call it slow combat traditionally in MMOs, or the very calculated combat.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting take on it. I don't know where it'll go, but I'm probably going to try it out. I think I'll definitely try it out.
Yeah. It'd be really
neat. Which is nice. So this, we talked about this last week, me and Kaelin, but I'll talk about it with you as well. What is your opinion on ROMs and Nintendo's like taking down of all the ROM sites because they want to monopolize all their old game libraries?
Look, I did read into this, and I guess I guess Nintendo are the ones that have come out and I guess whacked the ban hammer on was it Emu something or other?
Emu Paradise.
Emu Paradise, yeah, which has obviously been around forever and a day. I mean...
I loved the site.
If you want to stop, I guess at the end of the day, you can. There's emulators that will then, you can get ROMs for games that aren't necessarily that old. Even if you consider last-gen games, you know, they're usually readily available, backwards compatible, or, you know, you can get them on the PS4, and I guess they're still within resell or selling. I don't know. I guess I can understand, but for your like retro games, games that you can't even buy the freaking hardware for, like I can't go out to the shops and buy a brand new Nintendo 64 and a brand new Zelda Ocarina of Time cartridge. I need to go shop online potentially to get a good quality, well maintained one. You know, exorbitant prices, right? And I guess like the Jim Sterling did a video on it. Was it his current Jimquisition was on it this week? He did it. He had a video on it though. He definitely did a video talking about it. But you know, you can't go and get you can't go and get these cartridges. And it's like any avenue you have to get the game legitimately doesn't then lead to Nintendo getting any money, right? And I'm sure that still annoys them. I'm sure if they could block people, you know, doing resale on, you know, those sort of games that on like pre-owned games. I know there's a big part of games publishers.
Bethesda did block a secondhand sale because they were claiming it was new because it was, or something like that.
I did read that.
That was so yeah. They will block secondhand or like the secondhand market if they could.
100%. But I guess with ROMs, I mean that's the only way you've got to, you know, like if I want to go back and play like Desert Strike or some of the real classics from the Sega Mega Drive, you know. ROMs in an emulator is like the way you do it. It's like the only legitimate way to do it. I guess you can buy some of their crappy bundles, and whether Nintendo are specifically seeing this as a not threat. I mean, the thing is, this has been going on for 20 plus years. You know, as long as games have been around, there's been ROMs and emulators for them. But whether now that they've been doing their, you know, NES Classic, SNES Classic, talking about them doing a Nintendo 64 one potentially, whatever those rumors were, whether they're now seeing. If that's their comparison to that, then I guess I can see... at the end of the day, I can see them and other games publishers doing that. But personally, I don't like it. I personally think if there's no other choice but to, I guess, have a ROM and an emulator play an old game that you just can't get by legitimate means, then I don't. The problem with it. I do understand, though, at the end of the day, it's technically not legal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It isn't legal. But if they're going to take down those sites, they should work harder on making those games available for everyone to purchase legally.
Oh, 100%. Like, at the end of the day, like, maybe they should fucking make them emulators themselves. How about buy out the... If someone's made a really good emulator... platform, buy into that and then bring that back yourself, get your entire
collection,
collection of games and stream it, like get people to pay $15 a month to be able to play any game from like the last however long you've been around.
So I mean, they like, can't
Nintendo's
do that,
got enough titles for that.
Because
well, you got, I guess you've got
all the third party games.
Yeah.
No, they can do that for their own games. But that's it.
Well, that's half the problem, isn't it?
Is and like so many of those publishers and stuff, publishers and developers would be dead, and there's no way of doing it. They can't legally sell the game because it's not theirs, but no one else can legally sell it. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a nobody wins situation, I think.
100%.
Which sucks. Oh well. We'll keep going on.
It really does suck.
Was good to hear your opinion on it though. Risk of Rain 2. Let's talk about that. What was that?
Risk of Rain. Oh, sorry. No, nothing. So Risk of Rain. I never played Risk of Rain 1. I'm not as sure about yourself.
So I played it. It's a 2D game. It's a side scroller, kind of action side scrolling Minecraft Terraria like thing. You collect stuff. I think it was less build the world though. It was more
kind of survival.
Survival, build up your character, side scrolly. It was fun. It was hard.
So that was side scrolly, whereas this one's going third person.
Yes.
3D.
It's a very different take on the game. Like I can see that they've still got a lot of the same mechanics, but kind of put it into 3D, which changes the whole feel of the thing.
Or it'll be a different game, which isn't bad. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It'd be interesting. I guess I haven't played so maybe I need to go and get a hold of a copy of that before it releases and get a copy. I guess play the original to do a comparison. But it looks interesting. I can't really see a lot about, I guess, the gameplay in that teaser trailer, but I mean, yeah, definitely. I'd like to see more of it, I guess.
So would I.
Knock on their door and get a copy. Sure, you know people. know people that know people.
I don't. But no, I think it's going to be multiplayer. I think that's going to make it really fun. It looks very blow up lots of stuff, use lots of cool items.
Which is cool.
Repeat. Which, yeah, is a great fun experience. I don't think they're... From their quality of Risk of Rain, I don't think they're in it to, like, change everyone's expectations of it. I think they want to give people more of what they already wanted. Yep. And that's commendable. And I look forward to playing it. I guess.
Yeah,
The next thing I'm looking forward to playing though is Doom Eternal. I haven't played the other Doom, but the trailer or the gameplay for this one looks so good.
Doom. It's another game that I had on my Xbox One, which I don't have anymore. And I definitely am overdue to get a copy of this on PC. But from what I did play of it, I just loved it. It's like, you know, I guess the repeated melee attack where you just go and, like, rip demons' heads off, punch them in and whatever, it never got old. Like, it's one of those things that you'd think that if you did the same thing over and over again for, like, 2 hours that it would get boring, but it's just awesome. And, I mean, as a fan of the original Doom games, like, and like, you know, obviously Doom 1, Doom 2, I'm a big fan of Doom 3, but for different reasons. It's not really, I guess, what you would call a Doom game. That was more of a horror game, you know, a horror, you know, creepy first-person story-driven game, which I enjoyed back in the day. I know I finished that and the expansion a couple of times. Definitely really disappointed about the final boss, though. and there's a lot of problems with that game, but we won't go too much into that. But Doom gets back to that, I guess Doom 2015 or 16, whenever it came out. And then this trailer for Doom Eternal, it is just that pure, you know, fucking up some demon shit. Really, it's really exciting, really, I guess, you get your adrenaline going. It's just walking around shooting shit, which is what Doom was, and it's what everybody loved about Doom. It's why people still go back and play the original Doom games after all these years, because it doesn't need a story. And even from what I played of Doom and what I know about it, the new one from a couple of years ago, is while there is a story and it's clearly visible, there's a lot of, you know, you can spend a lot of time reading things that are on screens and wall and whatever, but essentially the character just, you know, ignores it and does his own thing. You know, it's like, I'm just going to go blow that shit up, you know. It's just really interesting. I think you should play it, and I'd really like to know your take on it. But, you know, it's just a great first-person shooter, just getting back to what a first-person shooter is.
Yeah, I want to play it now that I've seen Doom Eternal, actually. It reminds me a lot of Bulletstorm, which you could just chain lots of these different attacks together and kill enemies in unique ways with your weapons. And it always just felt satisfying. It wasn't necessarily about your skill of doing it. It was just about the kill being satisfying, which...
Oh, definitely.
You can be skillful at chaining everything together, but even if you're not, like, it still feels satisfying and good, which I think is a great, great experience for everyone, and like kind of like anyone can get into it. That being said, it's very gory and very definitely not everyone's type of game.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Definitely. I mean, definitely not. But if you're a player of many first-person shooters, and I guess if you really enjoyed the original Doom and Doom 2 for what they were, and you know, you want more of that kind of action, but in a modern game, then you've really got to get on to the new Doom. And this Doom Eternal is just even more improved by the looks of it. Even more ways to cut up some demons and whatnot. It looks like, yeah. I'll say no more, but I'm really excited for it.
So am I. I cannot wait to go through that. But
Doom 2016, or again, whatever it is, I don't think it's too expensive on stores. It might be like $20.
Yeah, I might give it a go.
Definitely worth picking up.
Another thing Bethesda was talking about at QuakeCon, there's some comments that they said about they're not looking to release some games or The Elder Scrolls Legends specifically on platforms that do not support crossplay. We all know what that means. PlayStation.
Now, is this I imagine this is directed at PlayStation.
It's the only platform now that I'm pretty sure doesn't do crossplay.
Yeah.
Like Microsoft Nintendo have even tweeted, like the actual companies even tweeted each other, like, want to play some multiplayer later? Like, like that's such a dig. I can't,
they're going all Wendy's on them, yeah.
It's actually getting to the point where this is probably going to start hurting PlayStation's business. Like, they do have great first-party titles, but if they start losing out on the third party because they don't do this one thing, then...
Just look at Fortnite. I mean, you know, if you think about all the Fortnite players, how many... And as much... I'm not a big fan of Fortnite, but I do understand its success and I do respect it. But if you consider all the Fortnite players that played on PlayStation that then can't use their same account back on other platforms, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, and I'm not a Sony fanboy by any stretch. The only PlayStation I've ever had was a PS3, like, way after, you know, it was cheap in the bargain bin, essentially.
Well, I was going to get a PlayStation, actually.
For me, it pushes me away.
But then... Yeah. They did all this stuff, and I was just like, well, like, I want to play your first-party games, but that's probably all you're going to have that's good, because it seems that if I want to play anything else, I should play that on other platforms.
Yeah, 100%.
So I really like Bethesda's stance on this. They're like, well, we're probably not losing much money doing this,
The only way Sony's going to change their stance on things like crossplay is if big developers or big publishers take that stand and stop, you know, just don't release some titles. Now, at the end of the day, you know, the game they're talking about at the moment, what was that called? Elder Scrolls Legends. Now, I wouldn't call that a massive release. It's not something that I am interested in playing. However, you know, the next major Elder Scrolls title, will they still hold this same stance?
Because that'll be a single player game. I hope it's a single player game. Yeah. If it's not, like, they've ruined the game.
Well, think Fallout 76 at least, then. That's going to be a multiplayer game. Do you reckon that they'll take a similar stance here?
I don't think so just yet. I think they're going to trial it out, and if they see that, like, this is a success, and everyone else sees, oh my god, this game was really big, and it didn't come out on PlayStation because PlayStation was stupid, more games
that would rock them, and then that would potentially push, I guess, at least nudge Sony in that direction of, well, what about crossplay? If that was the reason for it, but
so look at it this way: with Fallout 76, that's kind of instant servers, right? So. Yeah. They have to host a bunch of servers regardless. With Elder Scrolls Legends being kind of like an MMO thing, they, for every other platform, they'll have this one conglomerate server, right? But then they'd have to make a separate thing just for PlayStation. So it actually costs them money to put the game on PlayStation more than any other platform. So I think that's a big push for it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
If they are doing this, like... That's kind of the reason I would see behind it. Because if it's just a game where, like, you just host matchmaking games, like, that doesn't really matter. But if it's like a big conjoined server where players can talk to each other and all that, it turns into a much bigger headache separating the platforms. Especially in this day and age where it's so easy to connect the platforms.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I just can't get my head around why they're such dicks about it.
An ex manager at Sony basically, when he left his job there, when someone asked him about it, he basically just said, "Money. It's about the money." So they make more money by not allowing crossplay, according to them. I think that'll slowly change.
Right. Yeah.
They will definitely start losing money. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Which is unfortunate for them, but they're digging their own thing.
I'm not a particular Sony fanboy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, neither am I. This is only sullying my relationship.
Yeah, well, any I guess major enterprise that is on their quest for all of the money in the whole world and universe, I'm not really a big fan of. But
well, from a business point of view,
I want to see more games like Hollow Knight.
Yeah, from a business point of view, I understand trying to get all the money. Like, there's people hired, and all their job is to find out how to get more money. Like, I can see that, because it transforms very quickly from this company that wanted to make a good experience for customers to being a company that hires business people, because they're like, we want to keep the people here employed, and we want to provide good games. But to do that, we need money. It then slowly becomes and turns into the people wanting to make all the money saying, all right, you as a business need to do this to keep everyone employed. They're like, oh, we'll do it these few times until it happens. Like, you get shareholders on, and shareholders don't care about the product. They care about the money. And then that cycle just repeats itself until the company is just shareholders wanting money, and anyone who did care about the product to begin with is now moved on to something else.
Well, the crux is usually when that founder, CEO, chairman that, you know, built it from the ground up, cares about it, ends up getting pushed out because he, you know, I guess, trusted in the businessy people. Then it just goes like, yeah, money, 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 money.
Yep, exactly.
And at the end of the day, those people that they made sacrifices to keep on employed, then end up not being employed anymore anyway. So it's just a big old sad.
Yeah. Let's keep on going on the Bethesda train. Rage 2 apparently won't be supporting mods at launch. I'm glad that they have at least kept it open-minded for supporting mods later. If they wanted a certain experience for the game, though, I can see why not including mods was part of their initial plan.
Now, I haven't played Rage. This is more of like a traditional first-person shooter, isn't it? It's not like
your open world. Like, it's Mad Max. It's Skyrim Mad Max. The Mad Max universe kind of presented in a Skyrim-like game with vehicles and stuff.
Okay, so it is their typical engine. Well, that is a bit strange.
It's what? Sorry?
I understand. I find that a little bit strange because I guess, you know, from the very early days, Bethesda games in that style, like Morrowind, the Elder Scrolls series.
Well, I say that and it's like it's a big open world game. It's not using the same engine.
Oh, okay, so it isn't using the same engine.
No. Well,
look, that I guess is fair enough. With their traditional engine, I'm pretty sure they supplied like the mod tools. Like they provided that, whereas this might be a case of
they provided the scripting engine in it. Yes.
Yeah.
Which
I'm pretty sure they provided like a whole suite of
I wouldn't call it a suite. It was tools that people figured out how to work.
Yeah, fair enough. I feel like it was a little bit more provided in like Oblivion, but then
I think it feels like that because people are so passionate about that they make these tools more accessible for others by making like wrappers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
So
interesting. I guess when I think Bethesda, I just think lots. Essentially.
They do really well. They make some bad decisions at times as well. Which
at the end of the day, I think funny thing is it's like traditionally Bethesda just make really broken games that mods then fix post launch. That don't ever get fixed by Bethesda themselves.
Yeah, they definitely released a lot of those. I haven't even played Fallout 4 to be honest, which I know there's a lot of mods for like, already.
Even if you think Oblivion, like face it, say no more, right? You mod that shit straight away. I guess I haven't played Rage. I haven't got a feel for what it's like, but I guess at the end of the day, you know, they've left, the possibility open. So, hey.
Yeah. Last but not least, Path of Exile. Have you played much Path of Exile or any?
Path of Exile, I have played absolutely none. I know that, is this the one that,
It's like Diablo 2. It's a ARPG.
Yeah,
but every few months, they released this, they released new content, and like I haven't even finished the last content and they're already releasing new content. Like, I cannot keep up. It's actually so rare for me to be like, I actually can't keep up with the new content of that game. When you're usually saying, if you like a game, I wish they would release more content. So it's a unique position I'm in here. But the new one...
Is this the one that's on the Xbox Store? In the Game Pass? Not Delve necessarily, but...
I don't think so.
Wait, I this is...
You're probably getting games mixed up. This is made by a lot of Diablo ex-devs, I think, actually. It's by, I think it's Grinding Gear Software or something. Made in New Zealand. It is, yeah, a free-to-play ARPG. And you don't, like, the only thing you have to pay for is cosmetics. They're not really thrown in your face. It's really nice.
Yeah, right. It looks
so,
pretty cool. I definitely watched the gameplay trailer. Was it 17 days away? Looks interesting. I think I might be interested in it. I haven't played any Path of Exile, but maybe a new release like this will be...
Yeah, we should definitely hit it up.
100%.
But, yeah, so they introduced a lot of new things. For the first time, I think they're doing an endless dungeon mode, which I think will be good for people that get to endgame. There's going to be these rare drops that drop things from lots of the other leagues. So
but take
three...
it this is going out of the traditional Diablo 2 procedurally generated book and not necessarily Diablo 3 book.
Yeah, this is very Diablo 2. I told a lot of people this. If you wanted to play Diablo 2 as Diablo 3, get this game instead. Or play this game instead. Diablo 3 was terrible on launch. It's a lot better now, but when it came out, it was nothing.
But even then, because ignoring the market place aside, just the game itself is, obviously getting a bit off topic onto Diablo 3, a lot more linear. What made Diablo 2 kind of feeling like its own was the procedural generation of the maps. Like going out, starting a new game of D2 where you're wandering out, looking for the cave of whatever that was called. Been too long. We need to play Diablo 2. I don't know. It's just, I guess going out and finding, while there's always the same spot that you're looking for, I guess it was just a part of the game, I guess, for me, is going out and finding those locations and it just being that little bit different each time.
Yeah. That's what that is. And
but Diablo 3, it was a lot more on these rifts and stuff anyway. So, it's a bit different. This looks very interesting. We should definitely hit it up when it comes out.
Yes, I suggest everyone else do it if you want a good free-to-play ARPG.
Path of
Exile. They've put a few new abilities in. There's like 7 classes or something. I can't recommend this game enough. But that's our last thing for this week, I think. Yes, it is. So what have you been playing this week? Panda Key.
I have continued to play a ton of Rainbow Six Siege. It seems to be all I play of late. I did pop up Hollow Knight last week. Played a little bit. I've got a game that's very near end game of the original content. I haven't done any of the new stuff, but I wanted to clear up some of the... Because without giving too much away, there's like a few, ways it ends. You still do the same final boss fight, but there's a few outcomes depending on what you do leading up to that. So I'm just trying to like finish it off. So I was getting the ending I wanted, which maybe I'm getting a little bit too caught up on it, but things like finding all the little worm people, those things you save that get all really excited and then their popper gives you money and shit.
Yeah, that's...
Speaking of, I'm just getting slightly off topic, your Let's Play of it, you saved one of them before you initially visited that guy that gives you the money. If you see him before you save any of them, he's just like crying, essentially. Just slightly different.
Huh, there you go. That's weird.
Yes.
So for me, Monster Hunter and Hollow Knight as well. So I played Monster Hunter Already got a lot of hours in on the weekend. But yeah, keen to play some more of that, and keen to play some more Hollow Knight. Keen to do the Let's Plays. So
I just want to play lots and lots and lots of Hollow Knight. More Hollow
Yes,
Knight.
It is.
I did play
really
some
good.
Killing Floor 2 too, as well.
Oh, I hate fun. Killing Floor 2.
I also play a little bit of Dead by Daylight. I have played a few games, and then we played Terraria at some stage.
You yes, know, we did play Terraria. Actually, we did. We should hit that up somewhere.
Long games.
Let's do it. Let's hit.
I will say, another game I've played. Getting, I guess, as an alternative to PUBG and Fortnite is Islands of Nine Battle Royale. I actually
yes,
quite
you
really
have been
like.
Streaming that. I think
I did stream it a bit. Yeah. I guess what I find interesting about it is the pre-game is just gun game. So while you're waiting for people to join this, I guess the matchmaking server instance, you just play gun game. So you just walk around this map and kill people, and you know, you start with a pistol and you work your way up to better weapons and whatnot, which is just a really good, I guess, getting your eye in, I guess killing other people until the game starts, and then you just get straight into it. And it's a much more fast paced games tend to last, you know, lot less. Like I think you get towards end game within 10 minutes, as opposed to PUBG, where sometimes, you know, you could be in that same game running around for 20 minutes plus and then dying, which is a little less interesting. So I would it is a buy one, but you know, from what I've seen so far, there's no microtransactions or anything. It's just get into the game. So definitely worth checking out.
That is good. All right.
Yes.
So thank you all for listening. You can find PandaKB as @PandaKB on Twitter and PandaKB on
Everything.
Twitch and YouTube, I assume.
Not YouTube with a link, but I guess if you search by
you
that,
you could
search you. Maybe find it.
Can't find Kesscast or the link either at the moment. You can find Kesscast, which is me and Caitlin, at Kesscast at basically everything. So Kesscast for YouTube, Kesscast for Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. We stream on Mondays and Wednesdays. We didn't stream Monday this week because we were feeling a bit drained, but back to game dev stream tomorrow.
Beautiful.
So I'm excited for that.
Speaking of game dev is lots of fun. Really happy with my...
Yes, you've recently got into it, haven't you?
Definitely. Yes. Making spaceships go pew-pew.
Right, so thank you everyone for watching, and we will catch you next week.
Not me, though.
Not Chris.
Kieran and other person.
Kieran and Caitlin. All right, bye.
Bye.